God, come please kneel before the Lord this morning and say, Father, I worship you, Lord. Oh, shalada baka, shalada bako, se deleboko shanda. I worship you, Jesus. Father, be exalted, oh God. Be magnified, Jesus. Oh, liboko shalada mahande, si delada bahala kososhe. You are an awesome God. Be lifted, oh God. Be exalted, Father. I worship you. I worship you. I give you praise. Oh, with all that I am. Come on, with all that I have, I worship you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Be magnified, oh God. You alone are God. King of kings and Lord of lords. Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. I adore you, Jesus. Oh, be glorified, be exalted, be magnified. Lo sarapaka shanta libro sekele mahandis. I see you, Jesus, high and lifted up, and I worship you. I worship you. Oh, there is none like you. There is none to be compared to you. From my heart, from the depths of my heart, I praise you. I magnify you. Right now, even in this moment, I lift you up, O God. Silo pakaramandi sila bahaya sedekoris. Oh, Jesus. 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 You do miracles. Great and awesome things. From time past, even to now, even in my life. And so I worship you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood of your son Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the blood of your son Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit sent to me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I worship you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord, for my life, for my business, for my health. I worship you, Father. All that I am, I give to you today in worship and in adoration. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, can we say, Father, I kneel to worship you. I kneel in honor of your word. I receive and submit myself to the light of your word. I am shaped by your word into the same image as Christ. And Christ exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I yield myself to your word, paying complete attention. I receive grace and wisdom that changes my life. Your words are spirit and life to me, healing my body and restoring my soul. I receive every blessing you have prepared for me today. Your peace and joy are multiplied in my life. My life is a testament to your glory. I rejoice at your word as one that has found great treasures. Come on, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome somebody to church. It's good for us to be here. Come. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, it's good for us to be here. Glory, glory, glory. So I want to talk to you today about how to maximize the grace of God. How to maximize the grace of God. You know, we're in a new year, and God wants to do so much in our lives. We received His word, and we received grace. You see, we receive grace, abundance of grace. And the Bible says abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. So we've received so much. We need to learn how to maximize the grace of God in our lives. Amen? And so how to maximize, how to use the grace. Not just maximize, to use the grace of God. How we can use the grace of God
for our advantage and so that we can see the results we want to see in our lives. We want to see some things in our lives. So how do we use the grace? And what should we do? We need to position ourselves. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. It's about our thoughts, our actions, our inactions. You see, that's what I want to talk to you about today. So, let's begin from Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 21. I think you'll talk about the grace of God, where Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. In Galatians 2:21, Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You know, because people say by God's grace. People say by God's grace a lot, by the grace of God. But it is possible to actually also frustrate the grace that God has given to you. It is possible to frustrate the grace of God that is available for your life. And so, you and I know that there is grace available for us in this year, 2026. And there is so much that God has in store. He says, I know the thought that I think towards you, said the Lord. So he has good thoughts. He has stuff in store. He has prepared so much for us. And there's grace available. And he said concerning Jeremiah, he said, before you were born, I said, I knew you. You know, while you were being formed in the womb. So there's so much. God is not one to, he's not, our Father is not one that rushes into the plan like emergency. He doesn't have emergencies. These things are prepared for you. But the issue is that, and the truth is that, you get in the way of what God is doing. Either by your thoughts. Actions or inactions, things you don't do. And so you not end up maximizing God's grace. And actually, somebody can frustrate the grace of God. Like what Paul says here, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. So if God's grace is available, you can have God's grace available and actually frustrate it. And there's so much that God can do. There's so much anybody can do when it comes to your life in an attempt to help you. But there's this action on your part that hinders the help that you're about, that he wants to bring into your life. So it's important that we learn and understand how not to frustrate, and then if you say inversely, how to maximize the grace of God. How do I make the most of what God has given to me, of the grace of God? There's grace for our lives. Are you here? There's grace for life. The word has come. I mean, glad tidings of good things. We have assurance. We have an assurance in our God. We have an assurance. That's the truth. But many a times we are in the way. The truth is that it's not the devil. And it's not the devil. Many times it's not the devil. Somebody said something some time ago, many years ago, I never forgot. Just talk with me. As he said, you'll get it right. You'll be going in the right way for your life. You actually need help to miss it. Many a times we are getting help. We are getting help to miss the things that God has in store for us. Actually, you know, if you just go, you know, follow God, walk with God, you just walk in abundance. So there's so much that comes into our lives by what people are saying, what somebody said, you know, wrong thoughts, wrong actions that hinder the flow of God's power in our lives. The devil really doesn't play that large role. He doesn't have any power over you. Come on. He's defeated. You must know that. Sometimes people attribute so much to the devil. We attribute so much to the devil. We are doing dumb stuff. You know what? Somebody also said this. I love this. And he said, what is sin? He said, sin is stupid, ignorant, nonsense. Now, check your life. I mean, it's some things. People go through stuff and you check. Guy, why did you do that? Why? What is stupid, ignorant, nonsense? That's sin. That's what sin is. Many things we do, sin is just stupid. Come on. Ignorance is a practical nonsense. And I believe God that today, through the course of this teaching, this week, next week, I'll cover and I'll show you how to maximize God's grace for your life, and so we do not frustrate the grace. And so we'll come out of 2026 bigger than we came in. So our God don't lie. He cannot lie. It's impossible. He cannot lie. If there's a fault, it's on my side. If there's an issue, it's on my side. It is not even the devil, because Jesus Christ came from heaven to defeat the devil. He came to do it, to destroy the works of the devil. The Bible says in John, 1 John chapter number 3 and verse 8. It says, so to destroy the works of the devil. And did he do it? Did he succeed? Yes, he did. So the works of the devil is totally destroyed. The issue is us and how we relate now with the grace of God available for our lives. And that's the truth. As a pastor, you see these things, you see people's lives, you try to help you. No, no, no. And maybe sometimes people go behind your back, or sometimes people do funny things, or or they just do funny things, or they get funny advice from somewhere and they act in that direction, and then you are like, oh no, you are where you are right now, not because of the devil, but because of what you just did. I mean, you just did something stupid. You just did something ignorant. It just affected your life, right? There's something the Lord said to me. No, I mean, I'm teaching. I just want to share stuff with you. And I told our pastors. I told them, what are you doing this Sunday? I said, I'm doing prophecy. I have to relate prayers. I said, ah, no. I said, I'm feeding my people something different this time around. I want to start off something. We can do a lot of stuff. I can do a lot of teaching, prophecy, how to walk in. I want to show you. I want to guide you from this direction. So the Lord spoke something to me. The Lord said something to me. I'm going to teach you in detail. And I just want you to say this, because when you say the devil is not a factor, people miss it. Now let's do this. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
I will look at it in detail, but I think just saying it now and you're thinking about it, you'll say, guy, this is true. I want to tell you, and that's why I'm teaching you how to maximize the grace. If I tell you about the grace, and you miss it in these funny, simple things here, I mean, you won't maximize it, and that's not going to be God's fault. And it's not actually the devil also. I'll tell you. Remember, just think, we're not going to look at those scriptures because I have something else I want to say. But it was in December, I was just studying and praying, and the Lord said to me, he said, the devil is not a problem, people need to understand that. And let's take take the children of Israel. This is a real life situation we already know. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they got to the Red Sea, right? You know the story. And then Moses parted the Red Sea, and then he crossed over, and then the armies of Egypt were destroyed in the Red Sea. Come on, right? And then they went on their journey, on their way to the promised land. You know, there was more than once, twice that they stopped to say, let us go back to Egypt. Come on. It was no longer the Egyptians now. The Egyptians could not come for them anymore. The Red Sea separated them, ended the matter. They were saved for good. Okay, maybe when I'm talking and I'm focusing in that direction, you get the point. But it's so simple if you think about it. They were saved for good. The Red Sea was permanent. It ended the connection between them. Just like when Jesus Christ came into your life and you were saved for good. The line was drawn. You transferred from darkness. You were translated from darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Saved for good. But what was the factor that always took them, always drew them back? It was their hearts. Let us go back to Egypt. Let us make a God for ourselves, image for ourselves. Was it the Egyptians?
No.
So if you say the Egyptians was their problem, the Egyptians held them captive for many years. In the wilderness, were the Egyptians still there?
No.
It was, let us make an image to serve as our God, number one. Number two, let us elect a captain who will lead us where? Back to Egypt. In short, the Egyptians would have been surprised, to see them coming back. I'm not joking. Yeah, so that's what and if they, let's say it had happened, they would have been there and say, hey, the Israelites have gone. Then, eh? Did they come? That's what would have happened. I'm not joking. They don't have any power anymore. And the Lord told, I mean, I'm just telling you, Lord told me, he said, that's just how it is. The devil has no power over anybody anymore. The devil has no power over any believer. As far as you are a believer, the only way you can miss it is if you take your hand and your leg, and they start to march back to Egypt. Egypt can't hold you anymore. It destroyed the devil. Finished him. Destroyed him. That red thing is real. Real. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he destroyed the power of death. You see now. You see. All right, so let's look at this stuff today. I want to show you. So we need to take responsibility for our lives. We need to say, this is me, and I have to do some stuff. So I want to give you, I actually titled and I sent them seven commandments. Seven commandments. I didn't want to do 10 commandments because, you know, I'm not me and God. We'll not be dragging commandments. But I didn't know if I'm going to do all seven and all that. So I just said, let's talk about how to maximize the grace of God. There are these things that are very important. So I'm going to start. I'm going to say point number one. Point number one is very simple. Though it is simple, everything begins from there. Point number one is, so I'm going to just give you itemizing them like that. One, two. I don't know how much we can do a day, a Sunday, and then I'll be done. Desire. Vision. Point number one is, it has to do with your desire, vision, what you want. Brothers and sisters, what do you really want out of life? That's the truth. Everything starts from desire. Even with God, He says, let us make mine our own image and like after our own likeness. Everything starts from the place where you say, this is what I want. This is my vision. This is my plan. I have a plan. I have a goal for my 2026. That's the truth. For my finances, for our church, for our health, for everything. I have a goal, investments, things I'm looking at. There's a goal. There's a target. There's something I want to achieve. There's a vision there in front of me. And that is where everything begins from. Your whole life begins from that desire. From something inside of your heart. It does not from the outside, but from the inside. What do I want? Listen to me. When you first of all want it first. That's the first point. Let's not start to talk about whether it is possible, because the truth is that with God, all things are possible. So the first thing that He puts in your heart, it comes into your heart, it speaks to you, and it gives you visions and dreams in your heart. And that's where you need to have, this is the point where you need to take them and own them and say, this is what I want. I want to be prosperous. I want my life to be stable. I don't want all this instability. I don't want to be controlled and manipulated by people. They'll just call you, say, come, but because I don't have money, don't have control. I want to be my own boss. You have to start from that, what you want. A desire in your heart. You see, I'm telling you, even with God, He has that same thing, that desire thing there. So if you've not stopped, and the Bible says something in Proverbs chapter number 21. Will you look 29? Sorry. Proverbs chapter number 29. I think we should start off with that. Then we'll go further. Proverbs chapter number 29, verse number 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people would perish. And that's what we're talking about with vision. When there's no vision, when there's no what I want. You know, when I say desire is not something you have, it's something you want to have. It's something you want to have. It's like the vision. That's another word to say vision. When there's no vision, what's your vision for your business, for your life, for your marriage? For, you know, we're married, but what's, I always tell people when I counsel couples, come on, you come together, what's the vision for your marriage? No, there has to be a plan. I want my marriage to be sweet. I want it to be this. You have to have that what you want. That's it. Yes, for everything. I want my business to be, I don't even want it to be the top, first, the biggest business in those states. No, I just want to have this certain clients and this amount. Yes. You have to define it. Let us make man after our own likeness. There have to be definitions. You have to define it, and that's your vision. 2026, God gives us this time thing, you know, calendar, so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us to number our days, right? So you number your days. We have between now and December. What do you want? It's simple. What do you really want? Because once you state that thing, once you state what you want, it begins to control you. It begins to determine what you do and what you do not do. Many people have not stated that thing out, and that's a problem. So the question is, what do I want? When you say this is what I want, then somehow the forces of heaven begins to work for you. They begin to bring these things together. You'll be able to identify them when you see them, because it is what you want. Right? You are able to walk towards something. You can't just be alive. Let me tell you something. The Lord said to us many times, I remember some years ago, I taught you this. I said this thing. Being alive is not the same thing as fulfilling destiny. Being alive day after day is not the same thing as fulfilling destiny. You have to take actions. You can't just wake up in the morning and say, I'm alive. Your life is not the same thing as fulfilling destiny. You see, now it's still very strong. Thank God I said it. Say, I just thank God I'm alive. Doing what? You must be alive in a certain direction. You must be alive fulfilling a certain vision. You are created for a purpose. That purpose, that thing, that mind of God for your year, for 2026, you have to touch it. You have to say, this is what I really want to accomplish. This is where you take a paper and a Bible and you look at your finances. How much do I want saved at the end of the year? Money will always leave your hand if you don't have a peg for it. Is that the truth? Yes, if you say, this is just going to guide you and show you issues, and because the Lord will do so much. But if you don't have a vision for what you want to get, if you don't have a desire, something that consumes you, listen. Just coming up in life. I think I will just talk about maybe my own. My life, my something like that. Maybe just give you a guide. You know, we are seven in the family. I'm second to the last, and then we have people doing stuff and everybody going somewhere and doing stuff with their life. I was in school when my father passed, so you can imagine a lot of stuff just going through and hoping that, and the man was very supportive, so you know that, you know, you are done, he'll support you, he'll be there, you know, and all that. So how will I even finish school, get a job, do stuff and all that? But you just wake up at a point and tell yourself and say, listen, what I want is that I don't want to be I don't want to have to run around from brother to brother, sister, please do me this, do that. I don't want that. That's not the life I want. I don't want to be down and out and I have to beg. I don't want to. I don't mind. I'm not talking about asking for help. I'm talking about literally I can't survive. I have to beg and then you now have to say, you didn't do this thing. That's why I'm not doing this. Or you didn't come to my house during the holiday. What did you now do? If you had come, I would have asked. I don't want that. I just want to be. I want to be strong. I want to be financially stable. I want to be able to speak freely my mind to you. I want to be. I want to be even as a pastor. I want to be able to talk to you. I don't want to be able to say, brother. Sorry. I know that you are one of the biggest givers in church. So I just want you to. This thing you did is good, though. It's not so good, though. No, I don't want to beg members. So I just say this is what I want. I mean, those definitions of how I want to be in terms of relating with people, in terms of my own stability, they helped the way I function. They helped me determine what I did and what I did not do. I took jobs seriously. I took my business seriously. I took my life seriously. I can't sleep. I mean, if I sleep in this direction and I have to, somebody was coming to church. I have to say this story some time ago. And he was behaving. And I said, no. I said, no, you don't do that. Oh. Not here. Oh. Give. No, give. Take your money and go away. You don't do anything. You don't. You can't. That's what I want. So if it's what I want, then guess what? I have to live in a certain direction. I have to do something. And then, so that's your desires, your definitions, they define you. If you define your life and what you want, if you say, I want to have two kids. I'm trying to be very personal. I'm trying to help you, with all my blood. I want to have two kids. Two will just be sufficient because I'll be able to take care of this one, school this one, afford, do that. That's what I want. It guides you. It helps you. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
I want to. By the end of this year, I love real estate. I think I should buy. I can buy a property. If I want to buy a property, if it's my desire, then I will do some certain things. So really, all of life begins with desire, with what you want, right? With what you want. So I'm going to show you some scriptures here. We'll look at them. The Bible says in verse number Psalm 37. Let's just begin to jump. I want to show you scriptures. I want to show you two basic things concerning this point number one, desire, what you really want. In Psalm 37, verse number 4, the Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Delight yourself in the Lord. The issue with this scripture is that Bible scholars Bible teachers will vary on both sides. When it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, He shall give thee the desires of thy heart," it could mean that the things you desire, He will give it to you. Or it could mean that the desires that come into your heart, He will give it to you. So spend time with the Lord. Your desires will come into your heart and it will be of the Lord. Are you here? So my take on this scripture is, I will say truth is that I take any of the two of them at any point in time. I like for example right now, I'm taking He will give you the desires of your heart. So when you spend time with the Lord, when you see the Lord, say, "Father, what do I really want? What have you made provision for me, for my life? You know, we're supposed to live according to the grace of God for our life, not the grace of God on somebody else's life, right? Are you still in church? What have you given to me with my skill, with my ability? I'm a tailor. You are not a doctor. There's a difference. I'm a tailor. I'm a hairdresser. This is what. So what is the grace of, what are you going to say? What the desires, when you spend time with the Lord, He will speak the desires into your heart. You will now know what you want. You can't be wanting what somebody else wants. There are two different things entirely. Right?
Yes, sir.
Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Oh, see. Hey, what do you want? What do you want? That's what I want to. You can die. All right. So you know, it's the desires of your heart. He will give it to you. And when you have these desires in your heart, I've told you before, these desires of your heart, they are given to you because you have the ability to get them. They are given to you because they are like your next step. They are the next step of your life. Somehow, why do you want it? Why do you want it? Because somehow it is what you just know. It's natural. Come on. It is natural. It is what you... Come on. When you start having some desires and somebody says, "I want to buy a car," I don't quench it. Why do you want to buy a car? Somehow, it's because you have the ability. Somehow it's because it is something that is in the line of your destiny. It is near you and you know it. Desires are born out of your destiny. So when God, when you have these desires bubbling up inside of you, it's because they are possible. It's because they are for you. So don't quench them. Don't say, you still put eye for big things. Put eye for big things. And maybe you people put eye for those things because those things are somehow calling onto you. I love the way a dear man of God put it sometimes. He said, destiny calls you. You don't actually choose your destiny. It just calls you. Destiny calls you. You just know. You're not like somebody else who just... somehow you are demanding. It's your destiny. You should actually begin to pursue those things. If you are not settling down, it means if you see the fire, well, you can't sit down, stand in one place. If there's something about you, and me to pursue those things, pursue it. Are you here? Your desires, he will give you the desires of your heart. Many a time, the truth is that, again, remember when we are young, when you say, what do you want to be? Doctor, fireman. My children say, oh man, he wants to be Superman and Spider-Man. Sometimes, it depends what he wants to be for time. It depends on what he just likes for time. So they can be anything. You just desire it and say, that's what I want to be. You know, there's this freedom we have in our hearts, imaginations. We're able to imagine life, imagine, dream something else. That everything begins from there. God, let us make man. He has not done anything. Let us make man our own image, after our own likeness. You have to have the desire first, then before you begin. So he now made man. I think we should go there. Genesis chapter number 1. Let me show you that. I didn't plan to do that. But go to Genesis chapter number 1. Verse 26, Genesis 1:26. Alright. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. You see definitions now? Definitions. This, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing. He defined the boundaries. Let us make man after our own image. Let us make man. No. After our own image. In our image and after our likeness. There's this. This is what I want. Next verse. So, God created man. Did you see that there? So, everything begins with your desires. It is very important you understand that. Now, I want to move. We are together, right? All right, I'm flowing today. Now, there's this thing about desires, and we're not talking to Christians. When you have desires, there's this thing to do about it. Number one, you pray about it. You pray about it. So, take your Bibles. Let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 1, and Mark 11:24. You will see a connection there. Romans 10, 1, Mark 11:24, James 4, 2. We have three scriptures to look at. I want to show you something there. Brethren, my heart's what? Desire. And what? Prayer. So, you see scripture. In Mark or two or three witness, every truth is established. Brethren, my heart's desire. So it's okay to have a heart's desire. Come on. All right. Something just came to my heart, to my mind. I don't know if to say it. You know. Okay. Maybe I don't know if I was. I would have said it. I'm not saying it. Brethren, my heart's desire. The only thing, let me just see. Do you see my heart? The only time your desire is gay. Don't say your desire. The only time you use desire is when it's a lady. I don't desire this gay. You don't desire house, money, car. You don't desire gay. All right. Let me. I said it's so free. All right, brother. My heart desire. The only time they don't desire a nice house, a clean house. Clean house is a desire too. If you want your house to be clean, you desire it. You clean it. All right. Shall I finish? Brother, my heart desire. I pray to God for Israel. Is that they might be saved. So he said, Paul says, I have a desire. And what? Prayer. So we pray, we desire things. So you see, he said prayer and desire. Are you here? Desire and then prayer. So everything that will enter into your life will begin with desire. I'm telling you. You are where you want to be. Where you want to be is where you are. That's the truth. Where if you say, I want to be here, you will move. Because everything in life begins with desire, begins with a vision, begins with a dream inside of your heart. So you have to first of all actually sit down and dream 2026. There is something we want to acquire in 2026. There are things we want to do in 2026. We're not about mind, we're doing it. We ended our year setting up our technical system, and we are doing so much in that direction. Our online booths, we are doing so much in that direction because it's what we plan. We desire it, and then we're planning and we're working towards it. That's our desire. You understand that now? So we don't. It's not random. Not say, okay, I think no. There's a desire there. And then he says, let me go on. I'm enjoying myself too much. My heart desire and prayer to God. So desire and what? Prayer. Mark 11:24. See it again. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, this is Jesus now. Whatsoever you what? Whatsoever ye what? Desire. Next he says, when you what? Pray.
Hallelujah.
You see that now? You will desire it first. It will come into your heart first, and then you will take it to God in prayer. You see now? If you don't have desire, you don't have prayer. What are you praying about? I think a bishop said something some time ago. Say you stop some people praying in prayer meeting. What is the prayer point? I've forgotten. What do you want? How will you get answer? I mean, it's consuming kasata, ruepekata, ligeri monokopaya. You are praying. I say, what are you praying for? This is my heart desire. You see it now? Like Anna, you pray. You pray from that desire. I want a child. I mean, it's consuming you there. So everything begins to desire. But after you desire, you don't stop. You now pray. Say whatsoever you desire. You see how he opens desire? It's free. It's free. Some people don't desire anything. That's the truth. I'm just being frank with you. Hey, there. My, all they do, they go. What do you mean, major, they do, they go? What's that? Nothing is defined. Do you understand? You know, if it's just they do, they go. Define it. Let him have dominion. It's after our image, after our own likeness. You define that thing there. So you say, this is what I want. I mean, I have this thing there, and then you do that. And so, God created. We'll come back there. But you see now, he said, whatsoever it is ye desire. What do you want first? You desire it. Then the next, he said, when you pray, you now believe that you receive them. And then what will happen? You will have them. Are you here? Desire and prayer. One more verse. James chapter number 4 and verse number 2. James chapter number 4 and verse number 2. Ye lust, and have not. Ye kill and what? Desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet you have not. Why? Because ye ask not. You see that there?
Yes, sir.
Because ye ask not. That's it. So, after you desire, the next thing you must do is to ask. So, we'll come for 31 hours in February. So, people that play with it, I don't know why they play with it. I don't know why. People play with prayer. I'm telling you that your desire is good. You cannot say, desire. The prayer is essential. If there's desire, there must be prayer to the God who answers and satisfies all desires.
Yes, sir.
Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Psalm 21. If there must be this, if there is desire, then there must be prayer to the God who satisfies all. Psalm 21 and verse number 2. I'm moving fast now. Thou hast given him his what? His heart desires. And has not withholding the request of what? Of his lips. You are giving him what? His heart desires. He will give you. He will give you. You ask. Right? So there's desire there as the first thing that help you. You can't maximize God's power without desire. If God has power, if you don't have a desire, then the power is useless. Right? I remember the example I gave to you, some years ago, where we were talking about somebody having a bulldozer parked in front of his house. Bulldozer is powerful. But what do you want to do with it? If there's no desire, the power of God has no direction. So you have desire, and then you come to God and say, release your power, let it flow in this direction. So, somehow, people that have desires and are driven, they see and get angelic and power help from God. But if they are not, then there's not much that he can do. Because you say, more, yo, they do, they go, more, they see. Maybe they see. And my life is enough. And my life is enough, is not, can never fulfill destiny. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Number one, and this part of desire and prayer, I knew it would be very easy because everybody said, okay, all right, I have the key. But after prayer, there must be something else that follows. Remember when we read Genesis chapter 1 just now, and God said, let us do this, let us do this. And so God created man. It means after desire, then there's this other thing now called pursuit. You must actually pursue your desires. That is where his power comes to aid you. Aid. You know what aid is? You are going there, then somebody will now help you. The government give us help. All right. That was supposed to be a joke. Somebody said this some time ago. I can never forget. I don't think you can't forget. I mean, someone was speaking on you. Said, may government come help us. Eh? May God help us. Help. All right. But anyhow, we knew what she was talking about. Right? God will help you if you have desires. Right? You have desires. So he will help you with the desires there. Then you will get up. When you get up to move, right, you will now see the power. Are you here? Proverbs 21. Proverbs chapter number 21. Somebody said powerfully many years ago that, it's like I said, I'll just read you from my heart. He said, pursuit is the proof of desire. Proof to him. Proof to Almighty God I desire that thing. All the proof. Lord, Father God, I desire my life to change, my financial status to change in the name of Jesus. Oh, what is time? What is that? 9 o'clock. Oh, I sleep late. Oh, God. I don't sleep. I don't quick wake up. Might they go work? If they sack you, it will not be a problem. As in, the guy didn't do anything wrong. He said, but pastor said, we should pray. The proof of your desire is your pursuit. If you desire something, you will pursue it. It's proof. There's no way. It is in that proof. Huh? It is when you stand up to prove your desire that heaven backs you. It is when you jump that heaven will catch you. If you don't jump, there will be no catching. So you say, this is what I want. And you say, Father, this is what I want. Thank you, Father. Then you jump. So I have desired it. I have spoken to you about it. And now I go. Then you jump. He says, did he say this is what he wanted? Yes. Okay. Did he jump? Yes. I beg, angel, move. It is that proof. It is that action, that pursuit that is the proof of desire. The desire of the slothful, it killed him, for his hands refused to labor. So he says he will bless the works of your hand. So you will take up a walk. Huh? You desire wealth, Abby? Then you will take up a walk. Then he will bless it. So he says his hands refuse to labor. It means he can have desire, he can pray. But if his hands don't labor, he won't get it. Anybody tell you that? Yesterday we were watching something, a bishop says something, say, I claim it. I said, Bishop David, he was laughing, just laughing. He said, you don't know what I'm talking about, you won't walk. I mean, I was laughing, I said, tell them. People, when you don't say walk in Christian circles, they say, no, you don't believe in prayer. What kind of pastor is this? You don't believe in God. It's a lie. Anybody that tell you contrary is deceiving you. They make money from it. They just say, so 50,000 naira for 50 anointed days of power. Somebody sold 50,000. 12 days of power, 12,000 naira. If we do 5 days of power, 5,000. 3 days of power, 3,000. I mean, guy, I want to buy a private jet next week. What am I talking about? I mean, then you now sit down and all they're telling you is to just be giving there. It's a lie. There's power when you release faith in the giving. There's power when you get out to work and his power comes to meet you in the place of work and prosper your business. It prospers your business from there. There's power there. There's power. He said, you bless the work. He said, you are blessed in the field. Eh? You are blessed at the field. When you go to work, he will bless you there. You come in there, he will bless you here. But you know, there's field. You go to the field. You are blessed in the field. You are blessed in the city. You are blessed here. You cannot be. People don't sit down and say they don't feel. You sit down in your house and you expect the power of God to be manifest there. It won't work like that. Say the desire of the soul. So this guy has desire. He said, but it killed him, for his hands refused to labor. So you begin to pursue it. As you begin to pursue your desires, the power of God will come to assist you. The power of God will come to your aid. So you will have desires at the beginning point. God's grace, God's power. I'm talking about how to maximize God's grace, right? There's this thing that God put in my heart. The Bible says concerning Moses, it came into his heart that he was the deliverer. It came into his heart. He said, oh, let me go and visit my brother. That's when he moved. Things will come into your heart That is the power of God. That is God doing something in your life. Because everything in your life begins with desires. Then you will go on your knees and then you will pray. You will say, God, this thing is what I want. This thing I have desired of the Lord, oh God. I mean, this is what I really want. And then you will pray. And the Bible says it will satisfy your desires. Then you will get up. Right? And then you will go out. And prove that you desire that thing. What is the proof that you desire that thing? Pursuit. Huh? So that is how I like that girl. That is how I deny my desire. Then you not send her a text message. Huh? I mean, one of our pastors in Lagos was talking to me about one of our ministers. I think he was there the service and the boy will laugh at me. And then he said, there's this girl. He's like, okay, Pastor Frank said, okay, go and talk to her. I mean, you have to sit and have a conversation with her. Because you can't say, I like this girl. We are just talking, but she doesn't do anything. And then, you know, you go and you do her. You prove the thing. You pursue. I don't know where it is. But we sat down and had a conversation. But the proof of desire is pursuit. Nobody can say desire something, huh? And there's no pursuit in that direction. It's not possible. Come on. Are you here?
Yes,
so that's the proof. When you do that proof, when you show that proof, his power will come and back you up. His power will come and back you up. That's point number one. You maximize God's grace by having a desire and then going out, praying and then going out to work out that desire. Point number two. Change. I want to give you this first. I had to put them in certain order. Change. Should I do that? No. Let's do point number two. It's the same thing. Don't worry. All right, let's do this. I just told you already. Right, change. Now, I want you to take this. I mean, there are things that God... Are you still in church?
Yes, sir.
If you've gone home, just shout amen. All right. Change. It is very important that you understand this word. I want to show it to you. That a change is a way of maximizing God's grace in your life. God's grace is available, but sometimes you have to move. You have to be a kind of a person. And that is in... Let us consider the story of Abraham, right? Consider the story of Abraham. Have you ever asked yourself, have you thought to yourself, why did God not just bless him where he was? Come on. Pack your things. Leave this land. Leave this place. Go to Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter number 12. I don't know if I gave you this. To Genesis chapter number 12. Okay, verse number 1, you're there? Alright, it says, now the Lord said unto Abraham, right? Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And verse number 2, and I will make of thee a great nation. I don't understand this God. He's somewhere. God bless him there. Make him a great nation there. That's what I'm trying to show you. I mean, the Lord, when the Lord is speaking to us, it just brings scriptures come alive. You could read this verse and it just passes by. But look at it now. He wanted him to move. It is part of God's system. It is the truth. This is how I am. It's not the way to fulfill and maximize God's grace for your life. He will just say, change so I can bless you. Move like this. Be like this. You say, no, this I am. This how I am is dangerous. It's destructive. You can be in a place. It's the same Abraham. The same man. He says, move now. Get out of here. I will do this. But the things you want to do, don't you have power to do it with the way I am? I'm talking to you. I know why I'm saying that. Because you talk to people and the next thing they'll do, Pastor, this I am. It's not how you are. You must change.
Yes,
you can't just be like that. It will just work. You have to change. The blessing is just on the other side of this change, of this adjustment here. Okay, can he not do it with the way I am? Ask Abraham. Ask Abby. Let's stop. Can God, Almighty Father God, not bless him in that land? Definitely he can. But he says, no, I want it to change. He wants to show us a principle. And so with Abraham, we see a principle for our lives. And that means when you read something like that, you know, oh, it means I need to move. God's blessings are always on the other side of change. This will help you embrace it. I need to be better. I need to be in another place, another level, another position to experience God's blessings. And that's it. That's the truth. You must You must change. You must shift. How you are, it's okay. God can do anything. He can use a stone. I know. Come on, pastor. That's it. He can do anything even with stone and rock. But as you can't know now, say this thing no good. What should you do? Change. Some people, when we now know, instead of us to change, we remain that way and say, then we are beginning to say he must do it that way. But it will not work. Are you here? There are things in your life that you must let go of. There are things in your life that you must bring into your life. Those things will now activate the blessings and the things that God wants to do in your life. It's not as if his hand is too short, he can't reach you. It's not as if there's no grace. It's not as if there's no power. I'm teaching you how to maximize God's grace. Now, don't forget the title. So there's God's grace available, but it just says, move from here, there. Finish. I will make thee a great nation. Somebody that wants to make somebody a great nation and has all power, is he just making a great nation there? Because he wants to show us something. That we are called to adjust, to change. And one of the things I find in the lives of people is that they refuse to change. They will not just change. And funnily, this is very important. Because it also has to do with the word of God. When the word of God is coming, the word of God comes to us to help us change, actually. To help adjust us. He spoke to Abraham, he says, move from this place so that he could actually change. When he moves, immediately the blessings will begin to flow. So, what are the things in your life? How are you? What are the things you need to let go? So, for some, it's just maybe a certain level of neatness. Come on. Neatness. Huh? I'm trying not to look for trouble. I just told myself, don't annoy anybody. It's January. You can start annoying them by February and March. January is just, I'll be preaching good message. Just something. That is how. Don't always settle. Once you see something better, once you see something better, okay, let me go back to that. Once you see something better, I like this. Don't fight it. Just know that calling in your heart to change and become like, this is the reason why God allowed that person into your life. That person came into your life to bring about something into your life, to bring about a change, to show you something. Once you have seen it, it now behooves you to actually make that move. When you make that move, God's power will be available in your life. I will make thee a great nation. But it will not be here. It will be here. I will bless you with this thing. If you will just learn respect, just be respectful. Just a simple respect here. And I will just do this. In our family, in my life, I'll keep going. You can keep going and keep praying, but nothing will happen. I want to maximize God's grace. There's grace available, but sometimes it just causes us to make a change here. Move. And so those things that we're not willing to let go of, some people, pride, whatever it is, but you might just need to actually let go of stuff. When you are working with God and God wants to bring something into your life, he will always require you to move. A little bit. Come on. It may not be as radical as Abraham, but there's always going to be a move there. There's always going to be that shift there. Once you shift, you see the blessing of God. I'm not joking. That stubbornness is bad. It's evil spirits. You cannot continue to just be stubborn. You can say, in all the stubbornness, where have he landed you? In all the I will not move, he will come and meet me here. He won't meet you. You can't blackmail God. Huh? Kalabaya Saria, Rigo, and you say, my son, do this. Iliboko, Riebebebe, my son, I want you to get. Sotari, you can't add prayer to change. Move thee from thy father's house. I will make thee a great nation. Simple. If you just keep doing that thing there, you know, say, I'll stay here, and when I start suffering, he will not come. Really? He will just call somebody else. Come on. And you don't want to, should I do this part? I mean, you are just preaching from my heart. You don't want God to help you change. If God help you change, you won't like it too. So you say, God, you won't like it. If he put his hand inside the matter, you know that thing you won't change. When he put his hand, he will spoil everything. Kai! I made up my mind. I was changed by myself. if he helped me. Move! Stop this thing! Okay. House. Fall on something, sir. You will leave the house. You, that house you won't leave, eh? You won't. No, you won't. Leave this place. Because for my calculation, is he helping? He balance. Leave this place. Okay. Oh, yeah. Everybody fight him, challenge him. Give him problem. When the problem for, hey, God. Hey, will you move now? I'm sure I see clear. That's the next step. He will, when all the doors close, eh? That will be the door left. Some of you are doing as if you and maybe you understand what I'm saying. Maybe you don't. But don't let God help you change. If he just tell you, as you just hear his voice, don't harden your heart to just move. But to say you will stay there and the blessing will meet you there and the power will be available there, it won't happen. Right? First Thessalonians, let's look at something else. Just as the things that you are doing are determinants for what you are experiencing, the things that you are not willing to do are also determinants for the things you are not going to experience. Everything, let me just say this now, let me say it in another way. Everything that you are doing, everything you are seeing in your life right now. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
They are determined by the things that you are doing. Right? Everything in your life, the determinant of the things that you are seeing in your life is actually the things that you are doing and the things you have been doing. Now, the things you are not willing to do, they are also the determinants of the things also that will not come into your life. You can't continue doing the same thing and expecting something new to enter. Right? You people have left church already. I've not preached anything. Have I annoyed somebody already? Well, if the phone is ringing, answer the call. If I'm ringing your phone right now, just be answering it. Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. Amen?
Yes.
Let me do this. Let me do it with food like this. Rice, right? Corn. If you are harvesting corn, the meaning is simple. There's no stress. It's simple, logical. It means it's corn that you have been planting in your farm. That's simple. Now, so if you like corn, you are harvesting corn. You will always be getting corn. Finish. Not corn. Forever. You can have corn for the rest of your life. No problem. But if you now want plantain, you can't continue planting corn and say that God in heaven, I lay my life on the altar. Huh? Give me plantain. Then you take and go and plant corn. And he says, okay, plant the plantain. You say, no. I can't plant plantain. I'm not used to that. I'm not used to it. What do you have to do with anything? What do you want? The grace of God fully available in your life? Then plant plantain. You can't plant corn and continue saying now that you really want plantain. You will not change. You will be a corn farmer for the rest of your life. It's guaranteed you will be there for the rest of your life. That one is no problem. If you keep on behaving in a certain way, you will have 1 million naira guaranteed, assured, for the rest of your life. You'll be around 1 million, 1.2. I'm using money because you could like money. I didn't want to use money, but you could like money. 1.2. They're not laughing now. No, me, I don't like money. Okay. 1.2, 1 million, 1.3, 1.5, 9 million, 900. If you continue like that, you'll just be there. Don't say, why am I not breaking? Let me tell you why. He now says, now, if you must move financially, you need to begin to do this. I'm not used to it. That's not who I am. I don't know how to. No problem. Continue. I'm guaranteeing and assuring you 1.2, 1.3, 1.5, 1.900, 800, 1.1. There must be change to get change. Following the price of change is change. So if you must get something there, you change and then you get change. So you can't be planting corn. If you're a corn farmer, you can plant corn for the rest of your life and have corn for the rest of your life. Guaranteed. But you want more than corn. Then you have to change. You have to go to learn how to plant planting. Yeah. I'm not used to planting. I've been a corn farmer for the past 15 years. So what? So what? Many people are so fixed in their ways, it's very bad. Come on, say, can you just confess, I am flexible.
Flexible,
I'll change. Okay. You say, go here. But guy, now me be that. I'm there. I'm flexible. I'm changing. Because they're just so stiff. I've been planting corn for the past 15 years. Pastor, you don't understand me. Pastor, I want you to understand me. I won't understand you. I need you to prosper. I need you to go forward. This thing you are doing. Well, hey, Pastor Ray does not used to understand somebody. I don't used to understand somebody. I used to understand their destiny. That's really their destiny. I don't understand what you're saying. If all of us on that, you remain there, you'll never be able to enter into your destiny. Then you come and tell me that this is what I want to enter into. Then how are you going to get there without that? I mean, that's why we quarrel. 90% of my quarrel is to get people to change. Just stay there. Right? You have to change. 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at this. It says, look at what Paul says. This is a powerful scripture. Prove all things. Then what do you do? From time to time, you prove things, you check. This thing, no, they help me. This thing, no good for me. You let it go. Then you hold fast to only that which is what? Good. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Sit down by yourself in your room. Prove all things. This thing, no good. Prove it. Say this thing. Check it. That's what it means, check. Check it. This thing, why they do, is not good. Then this one, good. Hold fast to that which is good. Then the ones that are not good, cast them off. Right? Pastor, it means nothing. Nothing. This thing means something. Once you now know it means something, I'm used to doing, that's how I just do. This thing you are doing is not good. That's how I just do. You sit and say, prove it. This thing, why they do, that's how I've been doing, that's how I've just been doing. But now, they don't say this thing, prove it, look at it. If I do this, let me change. You change. Your friends will come to you. We'll pray all night. We'll pray for you. We'll do tarry 1 hour and pray. God will bring change your way. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. If you prove it and it's good, hold fast. If you prove it is not good, let it go. If you look at your life, this is I'm doing is not good, hold fast. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Prove all things. You are constantly proving all things. No, there are sometimes there are things I do. That's what I do. But as I begin to see other people, look at what is doing that. I need to change. I need to adjust. Oh, this thing will help me get more results. And once you change, you see more things will enter into your life.
Yes, sir.
Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Once you change, more will enter into your life. So the grace of God is not is available, but our actions can hinder it. Our inactions can hinder the grace. So some people are not willing to change. That's how I am. That's how my face is. Please change your face. Surgery. It's 15 million. Or I lay hands on you. It will change. Which one? If people don't smile in this church, I won't leave. Your smile makes me get out of here. And you're nodding your head and saying, Right? But you get what I'm saying now? It's just it's not how your face is. It's not how you are. You are better. You are bigger than that. You can do all things. You can change. You can. Anything you want to do, you can do it. If you see somebody doing something and that thing is helpful, you know, one of the things that actually has really been helpful for my life is that when I see somebody who is ahead of me, you want to observe, check my own, check his own, the things I can get from him, and then change. It's so simple. I don't know how I have. I mean, whatever you are doing, business, so if somebody is doing business more than you, I mean, you can't continue doing the same thing. How come you are getting more clients? How come me and you are in the same business, the same class, graduated the same year? You say, no, this and me, I'm just friendly. Just find out. Say, me, this I am, this I am. If you are how you are, you will never be able to go forward and get the things that God has in store for your life. That's the truth. So, in this year, 2026, you might need to move. You must move. There's always a place for change. Always a place for change. No matter where you are in your life, there's always that place for you to change and go better. That's the truth. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
There's always that place. There's always something to change. Always something. That is, why did I say so? You move now, and you start doing 5 million. You know, so man, I'm increasing. I have more workers. I'm increasing. And then you meet somebody again.
there are things you're not doing. Ooh, okay, I need to now start doing this. You know what I'm saying now? There's always that thing there. There's always that there so that you can go on ahead and maximize the grace of God. Even the grace of God will be there, you'll be where you are. But when you begin to change, change is one of the ways that God, one of the things that God does in your life that helps you move forward. I'm trying to show you the things you need to do. One of the things he brings into your life that helps you go forward. Change. One of those things. Change. You go forward from there. So this year, make up your mind. Approve all things. Hold fast that which is good. And the ones that are not good, what will I do? Come on. Discard them. And right now, I'm sure some of you are already thinking of some things in your mind. Pastor, this thing, why did you do? It could just be laziness. This thing had the affects me. I have to change. Sometimes it's just stubbornness. I mean, you just be purposely that thing when they say people bite the finger that feed them, eh? It's not spiritual something. It's they all do it. What is it? I go. It does that. That's what it is. Don't finish. Nothing more. They just stop it. Don't say, so Pastor, I need, you don't need anything. Just stop it. Look at what the Bible says. Let me show you this. I think it's Ephesians. Let me show you. When I say just stop it, just change. It's not hard. Somebody say, no, Pastor, change is hard. It's not hard. Let me show you. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4. Can you just go to 4 so that I can direct you when I get there? Ephesians 4, verse number. But the way you are looking at me, you are the one making me preach this once now. I told you, don't look at me, be nodding your head and acting spiritual. But you are looking at me. Verse 4. All right. 28. Look at Ephesians 4, 28. Verse number 28. Look at it quickly. I'll leave you now. I don't want you to see what I said. If I do 7 commandments, I may not do all 7. I don't know where I'll get to. Let him that stole, do what? Steal no more. But rather, let him what? Labor. Working with his hands, the thing which is good. That he may have to give to him that what? That needed. Thief, tongue giver. Overnight. Paul didn't say prayer. Oh. Somebody say, Pastor, pray for me. That says prayer. Let him that stole, steal no more. Just say today, say all those things I do. And I'll not do them again. Change. Simple. You delay it as long as you like. When you just make up your mind, you want to walk away. You just walk away. Nothing. See, Pastor, it's hard. I've been trying to. It's a lie. Let him that stole steal no more. Finish. But rather, so tell him, don't be doing this. Say, okay. So I have to walk. Walk. So I can. So the purpose I can even have. I'll now be able to give to people that have needs. No. I used to see before, but I still know more. Finish. You don't walk away. So if you have this thing inside of you, that this character, this thing there, this attitude, this thing, whatever it is, come on. Just stop. Just say, I don't want anymore. Why? Because I want to get better. I want to see the grace of God maximized in my life. I know that there is grace. I know that there's grace, but where I am, he can't do anything there. I have to change. So if you see something good, hold fast to it. See something that is not helping you by yourself, drop it. Nothing will happen. It's not hard. Don't say, Pastor, I've been trying to pray. You don't need anything. Just stop it. Just say, I want to fulfill my destiny. Now you say desire first. Once there's desire, it's not be hard. I want to be a giver. I hear of people who give cars. People give cars as gifts. Gifts. The thing is, like, why can I not do it? I mean, something. I want to be. You see that now? So, somebody says, spirit of laziness, you are talking nonsense. As a child of God, when you have a desire and you say, this is what I want to do, you talk to God about it, and you say, what do you do? To change from laziness to hard working is very easy. I mean, people give cars as gifts. I mean, I just told you, I want to grow to be able to do that. I can call somebody now and say, okay, take this, do that, do that. I'm happy. But I want to be able to do more. I want to be able to call somebody and say, oh, school fees, I'll school you. From 100, from this SS3, I found you to graduation. Whatever you want to do, I'll pay the fees. People do it. They're human beings. They're not dead. They just do it. And they still go ahead with their life. They just call me. I mean, I'm responsible for you. Finish. In my mind, you know, they say, ah, that one is too big. It's not too big. Dream it. You call somebody and big enough to say, okay, okay, take that car. I'll buy another one tomorrow. So just use this one. Okay, I see your life. I just want to support your family. What do you need? Okay, you can use this. Okay, can you use that car? Take it. Do you understand? You have dreams inside of you. I say it's impossible. It's not impossible. They are doing. They are not criminal. You have businesses that are running. Money is coming in. So you don't have a problem. I'm thinking there. That's what I want. So you don't wake me up. You just change. You just say, I want this. That's what I want. And then you change. Because of what you want. So Paul says, let him rather labor working with his hands, the thing which is good, so that he may have to give to him that had need. Well, okay, I want to be a giver. If you want to be a giver, you be a giver. If you want to be a receiver, things are hard, I don't want to give, I can't give this, you don't understand, you will just be a receiver. I won't do that. I don't need that. I want to be able to give and be a blessing. Ask for nothing. And be a blessing. So if you just get to somebody's house, the person has money. The next thing is, please, can I get you? This is what now give me now. This is what I'm giving me now. This is what I'm giving me back. Just try. Say, I'm a giver. Okay, they say, can I help you clean this stuff? Can I do the stuff? Just do supply, service, do that, do. Ah, I'm leaving. I just want to support you, help you do that stuff. Wait, you don't even want? Say, no, go, please. Can I come with you? Can you do it like, oh, thank you very much. You don't even want to. You see the guy housing? I'll go ask him. You know what I mean? Mentality is just there. He has more than me. He must give me. I'm small. So everywhere I go, I must say, yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I know what I'm saying. I'm freeing somebody. So, I will say it. I know what I'm saying. Stop it. You are the blessed of God. You are the blessed of God. There is so much grace. There's oil on your head. You are blessed. You say that the Lord is my shepherd. I do not want. When you are seeing somebody, don't be thinking, give. I can't see a person, no matter who you are. It's what I will supply to you in terms of my service, my mind. Somebody might be more prosperous than you. I will give money. You might not even be able to do that, but you're able to supply from your mind, your service. You're able to be there. That's what I think. And it's when you start thinking like that, the person who sees you to able now give to you. So I want to ask, please, can you give me 5,000? I just want to use it just to give me. People are just, they're just there because they just feel that, not just to that person, no, everybody, even the people that they are above, it's like the only way you can make it in life is to be watchful and just collect, lock it up, and so that's the only way. Don't live like that. That's not life. Yeah, people collect from people that they have more. What can this person do for me? What can I do? That's not life. You don't go forward like that. So you go forward, just bless and give. And you see it comes back to you in multiple forms. That's have a purpose. That's what I want. I want people to be supporting me. That's what you want. People will be supporting you. No problem. They will be supporting you. You'll be under support. Support. Somebody say, what is bad? I'm not saying people don't give to you. You don't push for it. In relation with our spiritual father, I mean, we went there, they were giving projects. We're not doing like, we are the sons of the ministry. We are small in our church. We come to your church. I mean, you're sitting in a church, that your whole, you get there. And you know, if you cannot support our church, don't support our church. We are giving to the church. We are giving. We keep giving. We give support because we seek the anointing. We seek your blessing upon our head. We are giving. We don't, you know. I mean, we also call, give the account number for that church project. We are putting something there because we believe in the anointing, the grace of God coming upon our lives, and we are giving. And then suddenly you send a message. Oh, we sent you a message. We didn't even check our message. I mean, it was correct. We sent you a message some months ago. You didn't respond. We sent you a follow-up message. I said, we didn't see message. Go, oh, ministry is about, oh, please send our account details. We didn't send our account. As in, we are giving before you. I have the mind of, now that I'm now a son to this, my life has changed. So, no, I'm still pouring out there. That's the mind you have. And you grow. That's the mind that helps you grow. Finish. Be diligent. So, phrase too long. Thank God I didn't say seven commandments. There's no way I will cover all seven. I have seven here. They are in my notes. But there's no way I'll cover all seven because this is just something from my heart. And believers need to learn this. We've learned two things today. Number one, right? Come on. Desire. Everything begins from there. We desire, we would pray, and then we will pursue it. Desire, pray, and pursue. Number two, change. Prove your life. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Anything that is bad, cut off and go. If you keep on changing like that, small, small, by the end of this year, by next year, 2 years, 3 years, I mean, you are a totally different person entirely. People won't know you. I mean, prosperous, big, great, strong. I mean, everything that you are looking for to be already in your life. Come on. A little change here, a little change there, that adjustment here, that adjustment there, and you get to fulfill and maximize the grace of God upon your life. Somebody blessed today?
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Will you bow your heads? Thank you. Thank you. Will you bow your heads this morning? Say, Father, Father, I receive your word. I receive your word in the name of Jesus. Just pray some moments there and say, Father, there's this desire in my heart. From now, what I do now, I will write them out. I will write out these desires. I would pen them down, these things in my heart. I will have desires. I thought I would just be alive, and that's okay. I will have desires now, and I will write them out. And then, Father, of above all, I will pray. I will pray. And now see, whatsoever things ye desire, when you pray. So prayer is there. I pray. And Lord, now even I will pursue them, and your help will come. I know as I begin to run, you will run with me. The Lord walking with them, confirming the words with signs following them. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your words. Lord, I thank you for now. My eyes are open. I will not remain where I am and ask for your power to come. If you say for me to move, I will move. I will change. I'm willing to become another man so I can get another kind of results. I'm willing to become a different man so I can get a different kind of results. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the grace of your word. Thank you for the grace of your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, are you praying today? This is your time to pray the word in and say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. As the Lord has spoken to you this morning, come on, the Lord has spoken to you this morning. Whatever it is, he has spoken to your heart. This is time to pray it. Take it and pray it and say, I'm a different man. In the name of Jesus, I change. I have desires. I maximize your grace in this year 2026. In the name of Jesus, I maximize your grace and power in this year. I maximize your grace. I do not frustrate the grace of God upon my life. I do not frustrate the grace of God upon my family. In the name of Jesus, I desire and I change. I pray and I pursue my desires. This is a new me. After this service, I am no longer the same. In the name of Jesus, the word of God has wired my mind. The word of God has rewired my mind. In the name of Jesus, now I am a different person. Going out to get a greater result this week. In the name of Jesus, my life is changed. My life is changed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the entrance of your word has changed my life from inside out. I'm a different person now, getting a different result this week, maximizing your grace in the name of Jesus. I'm coming out of 2026 bigger than I came in. I'm coming out bigger because I'm maximizing the grace that you have given to me in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Kale Maneka say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, you are blessed. You are fruitful. In the name of Jesus, the Lord gives you the desires of your heart. And those desires are burning in your heart. In the name of Jesus, those dreams are bubbling out now. In the name of Jesus, they are conscious inside of your heart. You see them now as a vision now. In the name of Jesus, these desires, they make you strong. These desires, they give you strength. These desires, they give you speed. These desires, bad ideas. In the name of Jesus. Yes, and then you are prayerful. And then you are running. And you are maximizing the grace of God upon your life. In the name of Jesus. I say you are coming out of 2026 bigger than you came in. In the mighty name of Jesus. Those places where you need to make adjustments and you need to change. By the power of God, you are making that change now. In the name of Jesus. You are not sluggish. No, no, no. You are fervent in spirit. You are diligent. In the name of Jesus. All those anywhere, anything that the Lord shows you and says to do, you are quick to do it. In the name of Jesus. You are obedient. And you are, as you change, you are changing and you are seeing the power of God manifest in your life. It's manifest in your health. It's manifest in your business. It's manifest in your job. You see the power of God manifest in your life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you.